Thank you, children. That was great. We always love hearing from the kids. They are so, what's the word, cute, delightful, precious, very, very true. Well, Stephen Shannon, tomorrow's the day, right? We wish you well. Well, this past week, we heard the blowing of the trumpets, right? L.G. Gibson and John Philbrick really blew those horns, didn't they, at the end of the morning service there? I thought they did a great job. It takes a lot of lung power to do that. Well, when Christ returns, as we all know, many exciting things are going to happen. Today, I would like to focus a little bit more on what I only had just a bit of time to mention the last time, and that is what Christ talks about when he says that his reward is with him when he returns, that he will reward the saints. Let's take a look at that today and understand it maybe a little better, what it means and what it means for us, because that's what we're waiting for. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. And so we're going to look at, continue just a little bit, since we're right now between trumpets and atonement. Christ will be on earth at the fulfillment of this day, and we're going to be pretty excited. Revelation chapter 11, beginning in verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. And the nations were angry, and your wrath has come." And then here we come to the part that I'm going to focus on today, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who dwell on the earth. So we know that the Bible teaches that when Christ returns, in the twinkling of an eye, the blowing of that trumpet, we're going to be changed and become spirit and live forever. And that's an exciting thing to contemplate, just being there and making it. But turn back to me, with me, to Revelation 22, right at the last chapter, verse 12. Chapter 22 and verse 12. This is where Christ adds, "Behold, I am coming quickly," and it will seem that way when he finally returns, and he will come quickly at that time. And he says, "My reward is with me to give everyone according to his work." Now those, of course, who are rebelling against God and have refused to repent, they're going to have their reward as well. But we're going to look at our reward when we stand before Jesus Christ. And we don't know exactly how this is going to happen. Obviously, we'll join him and put down the warfare that's going on earth. That would destroy all human life if God didn't do this. There'd be no flesh saved alive if God didn't intervene to stop the kind of warfare going on at that time. But once that is stopped, you know, and I don't know, you can think about it, we can speculate, does God freeze time? You know, he has the power, time is relative to God. Does God freeze time on earth for a moment? Have you ever seen movies where all of a sudden time was frozen and then in another dimension things were going on? You know, there are different dimensions. God lives in a different dimension than we do. But however God is going to do it, there comes a time when we each individually, and we'll look at those scriptures in a moment, and I like to picture it in my life, there's going to come a time when I will stand personally before my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and give account for my life that I've lived on this earth. And then, after we talk it over, or he tells me what the deal is, "Well, Denny, here's what you did good, here's what you did not so good. Here's what you did the best, maybe not so best. And he's leading up to, here is your reward. Here's what I'm going to give you to do now to rule with me for 1,000 years. He's going to explain it to us. Let's go to a scripture, Romans 14. Let's go just review the fact that day is going to come, or shall I say that time is going to come. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. It says here, why do you judge your brother? Well, why do you show contempt for your brother? In other words, you know, that's human nature. Human nature is to judge others and criticize and condemn others. We have human nature, and we tend to do that, don't we, with one another and with others. But God says through Paul, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me. So maybe we could picture ourselves down before Christ on our knees as our Lord and Savior, and every tongue shall confess to God. I'll certainly be doing that. Remember the song Fred Reeves played, Can You Only Imagine? Can you only imagine what we might do at that time? I mean, some of you, I know you love Jesus Christ, and when you're going to fall down at his feet and worship him. And then verse 12 says, each of us shall give account of himself or herself to God. It'll be a personal thing. God will take the time for that. That's repeated in a little different way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. And as we go through this, I hope you're not dreading that day, because we're going to look at kind of how God looks at things and how he judges. And, you know, consider it this way. If you're there at this time doing this, it means you've made it into God's kingdom. You are changed. You are there. You are a son or daughter of God. You are a spirit being. You have inherited eternal life. But there's more to it than, as we know, that. What that is what is God going to give us to do on this earth, ruling with Christ for 1,000 years, and then on beyond that, of course. So 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, you know, you think about that. Woo, is he going to bring all the bad up? No. If we have repented of it, if we have repented and said, Father, forgive me of my sins and even those that we struggle with now in this life in the flesh, which we'll have until we're changed, our weaknesses. But, you know, when you come to that point as a Christian and you bring that to God, that struggle that you battle with, and you hate it, and you don't want to sin, and you that's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, Christ died for all of our sins, the past ones, the present ones, and the future ones. All of our sins that we commit. So I don't see this as God going back and saying, all right, here's all the bad things you've done in your life, and now we're going to weigh those against the good things in your life. My understanding of this is that sins that we have repented of can be blotted out, and there are scriptures that we could go to where God says he casts them away from him as if they never existed. But I think he's going to evaluate, since we're already there standing before him, we're in the kingdom, he's going to explain why he's going to use us the way that he's going to use us in his kingdom. How he's going to use us. You know, we might say, well, God, I think I should be in charge of a whole nation, or I should be over this or over that. So he's going to be fair. He's going to be honest. He will be merciful. We know God is a merciful God, don't we? He's love. You're his child. And so, you know, he's going to give you a big hug, I think. You know, if you're trembling or a little afraid, you can picture in your own mind, standing before you, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's probably going to put his arm around you, give you a hug, and say, welcome to my family. Welcome to the kingdom of God. But now we need to talk, because we've got a job to do. We've got work to do on this earth to bring salvation to millions and billions of other people. And you've got a job to do. And that's why I called you and why I trained you in the church and prepared you for this purpose. And you're going to talk about that. So I think it's going to be more that he's going to help us to understand what our strengths and talents and good things that we've done in the church, in the work of God on earth, the service that we've done. We may even find out that we helped a lot of people we didn't even know that we helped by our example or many other ways. Now, just try to think about what this is going to be. And I can say God has control of all time. I doubt if he's going to say, I got 5 minutes for you and your judgment period. Come in, boom, you're out of here. No, I don't think it's going to be rushed. I think whatever amount of time that we need, I think it's going to be, he's going to say, okay, now sit down, my son, my daughter, and let me go over with you. Now that you are here, I want you to really, with your heart, mind, and being, to know where I can best use you and what I feel you will do the best job at serving others now as we begin the 1,000-year period of my rule on earth. So I like to think of it that way, because our sins, brethren, are blotted out and forgiven. And I think he's going to dig up old dirt and sins that have been repented of. We're talking about here the determination of our reward, what we're going to do. And that reward is going to be as a result of our works, right? That's what the scriptures say. And I don't have the time today. I'm going to go beyond 3:30, but today we've got a potluck, and so it'll be okay. I'll try to close, if I can, about 3:45. And I appreciated Barry's message, and we talked together about giving splits today. So that's going to be an interesting time. First of all, a very important thing I think we all know, and I'll just say it without turning to the scriptures. We're not talking here about it's by our works that we somehow earn or deserve our salvation. Salvation just means being in God's kingdom, the gift of eternal life, living forever. That's what salvation means. And the Bible makes it very clear that that is a gift that comes through Jesus Christ, right? Romans 6:23. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the only way to receive that gift is to come to the point, which we've done, that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, who died for us and paid the penalty for all of our sins. That's how we're going to make it. That's how we're going to be there. It's a gift of God. It's not because somehow you or I become perfect in this life before he returns, or we become so good we deserve the gift of eternal life. No, we never get to that point. Hopefully we do get better, because we learn to yield, to pray and study and stay closer to God, and therefore God's Spirit, Christ, can live in us and help us more to overcome. So to me, it's more of an exciting time. I mean, I'm sure there'll be anticipation. Maybe there will be a little anxiety to actually, when he takes time for us personally and he's talking to us as his children and giving us our job in his kingdom. But I hope you will think of it as, you know, that's something I'm looking forward to, because I know that he will be fair with me and just and good and honest. But what I just want us to think about today, which we've done, and most of you have been in God's church a long, long time, what will Christ be looking for in us? How will he judge? How will he reward us? And when you hear the words that come to him, and hear my son or my daughter, here is your reward in my kingdom, what do you think he's going to say? What will he be looking for in us? What is the greatest need as he begins his kingdom on earth? What is he looking for in people, in us? What will determine our reward and the opportunities for service? You know, I hope many of you, in the right way, desire greater opportunities of service in God's church and work. It's not over yet. There's a lot yet to be done in the church. A lot of human lives yet to reach and people to help as they come to church or are called, wherever they may be. So please don't say, well, I've been in the church so long now, it's all over for me. Although let me comment on this about some of you faithful senior citizens. We've got some who've been at it 30, 40, almost 50 years now, some of you in the church. Just rest assured that your faithfulness and your works, if you feel, well, I'm weak now and I'm sickly and I know I don't have many years left. Well, let me just say the power of your faithfulness and your example encourages me. I think it probably does other people as well. But it certainly encourages me. And your reward is absolutely sure. And some of you have gone before and set the example for many now. But let's briefly take a look at Christ, what he will be looking for as he rewards us. And then we each have to ask ourselves, all right, what can I do now before that time comes, before I stand before Christ? What can I be doing so that I have fulfilled my fullest potential in the church? Because remember, all the stuff that has gone on in the church, all the stuff that has gone on in the world, that isn't going to matter, it isn't going to mean anything. It's going to be, we're standing before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we're there, and he's giving us our job and responsibility in his government and his kingdom. Matthew 25. Matthew 25 gives us a very clear clue as to what he's going to be looking for. Matthew 25, verse 14, first of all, says, for the kingdom of heaven, and this is Jesus speaking, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now I'd like to pick it up in verse 19. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Well, it's just what I was saying. The day is coming, and we're the servants. Christ is going to return, and he's going to settle accounts with us. We're going to give account to him. He's given us talents. He's given us abilities. He's given us so many years in the church. And he will look at all of that. Some people had a short time in the church and maybe died. And all of that will be taken into consideration. Notice what Jesus said. He who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered five talents to me, and look, I have gained five more talents beside them. And we know these words well. Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So I think we all know or believe that what Christ is looking for is faithful servants, that we've been faithful and true through thick and thin. We've had our ups and our downs, we all do, but we've remained faithful to God, faithful servants, not just faithful in obedience, that's important, but faithful servants of others. You know, he said the same thing to somebody who had two talents, maybe not quite as much human physical ability. You know, some have more inherent talent and ability than others. But that doesn't matter. God judges the same those that he's given more to, and that way he expects more of them. And so if you're highly intelligent and you know you've got a lot of ability, okay, God's going to expect more of you. And if through difficulties in your life, you maybe didn't get certain education or have handicaps or struggle with this or that, and you know, you maybe feel you're more limited, okay, if God has called you, he knows all that. And he will reward you according to what you do with what you have. And so the person with two talents, they gain two more. And he said the same thing to them in verse 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many, many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. God's looking for faithful servants, isn't he? Who persevere and endure. And the danger, I feel, for us, and it always has been for God's people, But if God lets time go on, I mean, we see signs of the end of the age for sure. Huge earthquake again. We saw that on the news, right? 7.6, was it? Affecting three nations, killing thousands and wreaking havoc. I mean, that's continuing things like that going on. But the danger that I believe we face as time goes on is we get tired and we get older and we can get weary. And as Christ brought out in Revelation there, I think the greatest danger is just letting down and, at least for me, becoming lukewarm. That's why I told you I try to read those scriptures about once a month. So I have Jesus Christ, you know, speaking directly to me. The final message is, repent and be zealous. Don't become lukewarm. Well, I won't read on down here, but it talks about the person that God called that only had one talent and hid it in the ground and was afraid. And when the Lord comes back, he called him a wicked and lazy servant and said, you knew that I expected you to grow and reap and bear fruit, and you should have taken what I gave you and deposited it in the bank and gained interest. In other words, it should have grown. And you know, an amazing thing is he said, take the talent from that person and give it to the one who has 10 talents. So God is going to look for those who have grown, who have borne fruit, who have become faithful servants. There, that's what he's going to be looking for. So when he evaluates you, when he evaluates me, it's going to be, really, he's going to say, all right, let's take a look. How long did I give you in the church? How many years? You knew that I wanted you to be a true and faithful servant of others. Let's look at how you used your time. I know you had a job. You had to work. I know your health. You might not have had the greatest strength that others may have had. You know, he knows all of those factors. He knows us better than we know ourselves. You know, so he will take into consideration every factor since he's the one that called us. But he will also say, okay, considering the length of time that I gave you in the church and your health and the job that you had, which took a lot of energy and time, here's the time that you had available to do good works of service to others. Here's the time that you had available to serve, whether your family, your children, your friends, needs in the church, needs in the community. You know, Christ is going to look at, because he says we're going to be rewarded according our works. And what does works means? It really means the things that we were doing as Christians that were good works and serving others and helping in whatever capacity, whatever way. So he'll be fair. He'll say, now, I realize you didn't have a lot of time. You had to work two jobs. But let's take a look at what you did with the time that you had in your life, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, and the number of years that I gave you. And let's look at where you were when I first called you. And let's look at, did you bear two talents, five, ten? Did you grow? He's going to help us to understand, and I'm sure we'll be saying, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll be willing to do it. Matthew 20, chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, he made it very clear what he's going to be looking for. As I think we all need the need in the kingdom as we begin the new world and God's government. What is the need, brethren? The need is for new rulers, new leaders, teachers, right? That's what the great need is going to be. Look what Jesus told his disciples, Matthew 20, verse 25 through 28. We read this, I think, fairly often. Jesus called them to himself, and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Some translations say oppress the people, oppress them. And it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. That means let him serve others. And whoever desires to be first among you or chief, it says in the King James. You know, it's not wrong to want to be a leader. It's not wrong to want to have a position of service. It's not wrong, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3, to desire the office of bishop. if the attitude and the motive is right in that person. It's not wrong to want to serve and to be in a position of service. What can be wrong, and has in the past many times, has been the motive, the reason for wanting that job or position. Sometimes it's been recognition rather than true humble service. And verse 27, so he says, whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. And just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So when we stand before Jesus Christ, it's going to be talking with him about what things did we do. You know, he will talk about your service in the church in the years, and let's say maybe outside the church. I don't want to limit it only to the church, obviously, because I know there are some of you that serve in the community. You serve in many different ways. You serve your fellow man. But certainly, we all know that Paul wrote that we're to do good to all, Galatians chapter 6. We do good to all as we have opportunity, especially to the household of saints. So, you know, there'll be a special emphasis that Christ will have on, let's talk about how what you did in my church to help the brethren and to help do the work of reaching other people. Let's talk about that. So we all have that opportunity, and we're still alive, and we still have opportunities within the church. So I think that should be number one. And then number two, as we have opportunity and the energy and the time, then obviously we also are to reach out in our community to help others in every way we possibly can. So what is Christ going to be talking to us about and looking for? Our leadership ability. And what he's going to give us to do is going to depend upon what we have done. And so now, this motivates me, brethren. I know I can't earn my salvation. I thank God for that it's his wonderful, awesome blessing and gift. But I do know that I am going to have to give account to Jesus Christ for my calling in the church and in the ministry. I recognize that and take it seriously. So we know our calling is to be rulers, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. Chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. Remember, and we're referring here primarily to the words of Jesus himself, words that we know well. And here's what he says to the churches, to God's people. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end. You know, we've got to keep at it. We've got to keep involved. We've got to keep serving. We can't let anybody, any attitude, Satan himself, we can't let anything, you know, we rise above that because we say, someday I will give account to Jesus Christ. It won't be to Mr. Armstrong. It won't be to Dennis Luker. It won't be to any minister. We won't give account to him or them. We will each give account to the same man, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power. So what Christ is wanting to do is give power and authority to us to rule the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. You know, we're going to have to help him bring peace on this earth and put down the warring nations. And it's going to be a process. It takes time. We'll stop the fighting so that mankind is not totally destroyed, but that doesn't mean the nations are converted yet, does it? It's going to take time. So we know that. So what is the greatest need in the world today? Righteous leaders. Men and women who have leadership ability, who have servant hearts, who never give up and quit no matter what criticism they get. Now, you know, we all are human and we all make mistakes. And sometimes you'll find out if you have any responsibility that, you know, we as human beings say things sometimes and we hurt people and their feelings and all. And we do that because we're not perfect and we make mistakes. But don't let that discourage you from serving God and Jesus Christ. He's the one you serve, and that's all that matters. When it comes down to your reward, That's all that matters, what you'll be doing. So we know that's coming. The great need, keep in mind, the tremendous need and what God is looking for now and trying to develop within each of us, within you. You know, and I know this is scary to some. I've had some say, I've never thought of myself as a ruler or a leader, somebody being in charge. My only comment is to you, get used to it, brethren, because that's why you're here. That's why you're here. And there are opportunities, as you know, many opportunities to develop your confidence, many opportunities to develop your abilities in the church, out of the church. The bad thing is if you're not involved in the developing of them somehow, some way. You know, what are you doing? What are you doing to, with what God has given you, to keep growing? You know, let's acknowledge that we've all endured and persevered, and we're still here, and we're not going to give up, we're not going to quit. But, you know, I, for one, certainly don't want to in any way assume, just because I've been in the ministry a long time, been in the church a long time, I can kind of let down now because I've kind of got it made. No, worst possible thing I can do, worst possible thing you can do, any of you, is to come to that point. Well, I'm to the age now and to that point in my life where I'm just going to sit back and let others do the serving and others be involved and do the growing. Now, you can do that. You can make that decision. All I want to remind you of is that someday you'll just give account to Christ for that. And he'll say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're in my kingdom. Remember, he said that he'll take a look at the good and the bad. And again, I think that has to do with how he determines what our reward is, because we're there standing before him in the kingdom. And he's going to come and reward us according to our works. I just encourage your brethren, every single one of you, men and women, young and old, don't lose this vision. It's going to be wonderful to be in God's kingdom. But when we're there, and when this day comes where we stand before Jesus Christ, I hope you will begin to picture it, just you personally, individually, privately, one-on-one with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with his loving, merciful, kind, gentle spirit. And yet he will be fair with each one of us individually and reward us according to what we've done with what he's given us when he tells us what he wants us to do. So he is striving to develop a servant's heart, a leader's heart, because leaders are just servants. And whatever level and capacity, you can serve in so many different ways, and you can be a leader in endless ways, behind the scenes. Some people don't like to stand up and talk. I would certainly encourage you, and I hope, you know, I'm praying and hoping that we will be able to have a speaking club. I'm praying and hoping that some of you will still want to say it's only going to be once a month, and it will be an opportunity again for those of you who would like to grow in these ways. It'll be an opportunity for you to be a part of this club with your brothers and sisters in Christ, to share your life and to inspire and encourage one another. You know, even the things that we all struggle and battle with many times are things that we can use to encourage other people. So I really hope that you will help support this so that we can have a club that will be truly a positive thing, that will be, that everybody will look forward to coming, and we'll talk about the kind of, whatever kind of speech or talk or that can be, that you want to give. I just want it to be something that will help you grow. And maybe some in our congregation who are wanting to grow and may just want to come and sit in the club and listen and learn and be a part of it. Because, you know, ladies, some of you say, hey, it's not my job. I'm not supposed to speak or be a leader. Well, you all know you're going to have a shock then, aren't you, when the future comes. Because that's exactly what you're going to be doing, teaching, leading, speaking. And so you as a woman as well, you know that, need to be developing in these ways, so that when you're changed and become a child of God, a leader of God in the kingdom, that you have developed your God-given talents, gifts, and abilities as much as you possibly can in his kingdom. So when Christ returns, I want you to be able to say, we all want to hear him say, we all want to hear these words, don't we? Well done, good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things. So brethren, let us stay involved. You know, I want to thank you. I want to acknowledge all that many of you do, your faithfulness behind the scenes, the phone calls, the cards, the visiting, the helping with food. I mean, I could go on with things that I know many of you do, but I just wanted to carry on with this message to encourage and exhort you not to let up, and let us help one another. You know, I don't want to, at my age, you know, there was a time, literally, and Leanne and I talked about it, where I was headed in the other direction. Oh, I'm too old now, and I'm too tired, and I've been at it too long. I think I'll just kind of retire and fade, and, you know, I'll just become a forgotten elder. I'm not going to do that. I've changed my mind. I've changed my attitude. Leanne, help me. Well, you know, when I've spoken about marriage at times in the past, I'll say this. I've talked about marriage and marriage relationship, and I've always said there are two things, and I mean this in the right way, in a humorous way, being faithful to God and to Leanne. I fear God, and I fear Leanne. No, I don't. But that's in the right way, just like we say we fear God, because he loves us. And I know Leanne loves me very, very much. But she has warned me, boy, I better do it right, do God's way. So she's a help in my life, a big help. So let us work together, brethren. I just want to be able to do the best job I can to help you and encourage you to continue to grow and to develop your abilities. So when Christ returns, that you will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things.